So if you're home or you're in the office and you'd like some visuals, definitely join us on Facebook and then comment under that. We'll be right there with you as well. So last week we started a conversation about why women who are being abused do not walk away, or who find it difficult to walk away. And so joining me for tonight's conversation, I have Dr. Mae Cullen-Wolf-Caesar. She is a consultant clinical psychologist and the Greater Accra Regional Rep of the Ghana Psychological Association. Again, she's here again. She was here last week. And we're really grateful for your time, Dr. Mae. Thank you so much for being here. And joining us on Zoom again is Deborah Tayo Akatbo. She's the head of programs, gender studies, and human rights documentation center at the Gender Center. Hi, Deborah. Deborah is joining us on Zoom, so just forgive us if there's a bit of a delay or a time lapse when we go to her. So before we get into the conversation, though, next week is a pretty important week for you, isn't it? Yes, so do you want to just tell us about that a little bit?
Okay, thanks. Next week is Ghana Psychology Week 2024. Every year for the last 5 years, we've been trying to make psychology relevant to the Ghanaian. Okay, so many people didn't even know we existed till the COVID. But now, since 2020, we come up every year with a program that would increase awareness, you know, so more psychoeducation. And this year, we're looking to work with the security services. So we're visiting the prisons so we can talk to the wardens and the prisoners, offer them some mental health support. We're going to the police, we're going to the fire service, because they do a lot. Yes, and then we're talking to students across the country about the dangers of social media. The impact of the misuse of social media. That's a whole show by itself, isn't it?
Yes.
So this year is going to be very, very exciting.
Yeah, sounds exciting.
Joy FM to join us.
We would love to be there. Because we don't, for some reason, we don't take mental health as seriously as Ghanaians.
We don't.
Yeah, at all.
You know, and that's my beef with a lot of people who have the opportunity to educate, to preach mental health. If you're feeling ill medically, like I asked someone the other day, how often do you get a headache? And she says, quite often. And I said, so how often do you get anxious? She said, oh, a lot. But then you see, we're taking paracetamol for the headache.
And just pushing the anxiety aside.
Exactly, yeah. Which might actually be the reason why
you have a headache. Yeah, exactly.
So we need to do more psychoeducation on mental health.
So how do people get involved next week if they want to?
Well, you're invited to join us at the launch. It'll be at the Ecobank head office.
Okay.
And then
when?
On Monday.
Okay, what time?
At 9 o'clock.
In the morning. Okay.
So please join us. And then on Tuesday, between Tuesday and Friday, we'll be carrying out the psychoeducation at schools. And then, of course, the security services I mentioned. And then on Saturday, we have a sports day. But the Thursday and Friday, we have the conference.
Okay.
So it's a scientific conference. People are bringing in their papers, you know, to advance psychology. And then on Friday, we have an annual general meeting, election of new officers and all that.
That sounds exciting.
Yes,
it sounds exciting.
It's a fun-filled week.
Yeah, it sounds exciting.
Anyone, I'll be looking out for you.
I'll show up. But thank you so much.
Thank you.
I know you're busy as well, so thank you for being here. And if you're interested, you can get involved. So Ecobank head office, Monday, 9 o'clock.
9 a.m.
For the launch.
Yes.
All right, so let's get into the conversation. It's funny because just as we were about to start the show, a friend of mine texted, and this is what he said. I have a friend who is in an abusive marriage. The only thing the husband hasn't done to her is physically kill her yet. It's bad to the extent that she knows his girlfriend and his girlfriend knows her. He sometimes doesn't come home, most often on important days, children's birthdays and all that. She saw hints of it when they were dating, but she decided he would change, so she married him anyway. She says she was told she wasn't ready to marry when she was going to do so, but she'd gone through a lot of frustration from home, so she decided to marry and make her marriage work just to shut her parents up. So because of that, she doesn't always report when he's abusive, and her mother is usually on her husband's side. She's reported it to their pastor, who always preaches peace and tolerance, but for how long? She's told his family, but they won't be on her side. They can only talk, nothing else. He's injured her several times, and now she's emotionally checked out. They have two young kids, and she can't leave because of them. Now, I know that she has a side guy who she finds emotional comfort in. She's not having sex with him, never done that before. But this man means more to her than her own husband, who is now fighting for the love of another woman. In this case, what would you suggest? So that's just one of the stories that have been coming through since we started this conversation. Let me start with you, Deborah. I'm hoping that you heard the story. Hi, Deborah.
I can hear you.
Okay, so did you hear the story that we just shared?
Yes, I did.
Okay, now, you know, remember last week you started to talk about the warning signs.
Yes.
So, I mean, in this story, is it possible for you to point out some of the red flags? Because she does talk about the fact that she saw signs of the abuse before they got married.
Yes. So thank you very much, Enimwa. So as I was saying last week, there are always signs, but sometimes we ignore those signs, maybe out of love, maybe because we do not understand exactly what is going on. There are a lot of reasons why women will ignore the warning signals that they are seeing in their partners. And as I started last week, sometimes one of the reasons being, it's something I can change in him. When we get married and we get together, I can talk to him to change. I can, you know, influence him better. But forgetting that this is someone who was brought up in a different home, and the two of you are coming together, so he's built attitudes and characters over the years. And so it's not going to take you changing an adult who has groomed himself to be a particular sort of person. But then that's some of the thinking that goes behind women wanting to still ignore the signs and go into this kind of intimate partner relationships. Others being that, you see signs of jealousy and all of that, and you're like, oh, he loves me so much. That is how come he's always asking, so where are you? So he will call you and ask you, where are you? What time are you coming home? Why aren't you here? You told me you'll be back in 20 minutes. It's been 30 minutes now, you know, tracking your phone here and there, you know, doing quite a number of things. And the woman assuming that, all these signs of jealousy can be equated to love. And so they would ignore some of these things. Mm. They think, this man is so caring, he's so wonderful, and would even go to the extent of sometimes sharing some of these things with their friends and saying, as for Kweku, when I'm out of his sight, he can't do without me. He has to check on me every 5 minutes. And it's a thing of joy for the woman. But that is a warning signal in itself that this is an attitude that could could develop into obsessiveness. But then some women tend to ignore some of the signs. As I said last time, sometimes the person stops you from seeing family members. So he says your father is dead and you have to go for the family meeting. And he says, no, you have siblings. Let them go and handle the discussions that will go on in subtle ways. There is a family gathering, I want to go. He says, I'm okay for you. I'm all that you need. You don't need your family members. I'm sufficient for you. You know, so let the family go ahead. Or, you know, even throw tantrums, actually. You are going and, so you want to leave me alone? You want me to be at home alone? Okay, so your family is more important than me. Is that what you are trying to tell me? And would guilt trip you such that, you know, you just have to give in? These are all warning signs. And, you know, you feel as if you can't live without this person. You feel as if he's the air that you breathe in. He's your very existence. It's like when you are not with him, you are wondering. You know, there's a difference between love and caring for somebody and, being, thinking that you are the center of this person's life, or you want to be the center of this person's life, whereby your whole world, your whole being is consumed in the thoughts of that person, every act that you exhibit, it's like it's all about this person. And, you know, you feel you can't live without this person, such that you ignore even other things concerning yourself just so that you can be with this person, give your all to this person, be the center of this person's life. These are things that you need to think about. Then you believe that the decisions that you take, you know, pleases the man. And so even when you are supposed to take important decisions concerning your life, so sometimes you feel, oh, maybe I want to go in for this promotion. And he comes and says, oh, what do you need that for? Am I not providing enough for you? I think it's okay for now. You step back a bit and let others take that role. And, you know, later you can vie for the, you can go ahead and seek for promotion in your workplace. Or even, you know, sometimes he will pass comments like, oh, no, there is no need for you to further your education. What you have is enough. After all, I'm taking very good care of you. Building your educational status is not that important to me. After all, when you go to school, it's because of me, so that you can show off to others that your husband has done this. And I'm saying this is okay for me. So the belief that the decisions that you are taking are decisions that pleases the man, as against decisions that should please you as a human being, because it is towards your own development. You tend to shake and put those things aside and focus more on the decisions that the man wants to take for you. And you are in this relationship, you are so afraid of even sharing your very thoughts, your innermost concerns, the things that worry you. You are so afraid. You just can't seem to bring them up, because all the times that you have tried to bring up issues concerning yourself or to discuss very important issues concerning the relationship, you know, you are shut down immediately. Oh, don't worry, what you are trying to say is not that important. Let's discuss it another time. So even when things are worrying you and you need to bear your soul out, you can't seem to do it with this particular person, because you are afraid. You don't know how to even begin the conversation or end the conversation. It is a warning signal for you to, you know, take very serious, because if you're in an intimate partner relationship, you should be able to feel comfortable with the person that you're with. You should be able to have conversations where both sides are dialoguing. So, you know, okay, let's do this. Oh no, can we think about doing it this way? But not in a relationship where every now and then you are being shut down or something or the other. He stops you from enjoying the activities that give you pleasure. Maybe you're an adventurous person. Maybe once every 2 months you want to go on a hike in the Fajato Mountains. And then you've been doing this for so many years, but he comes into the picture and subtly he begins to tell you, oh, I don't enjoy these activities. Can we please, you know, put that aside? And so before you know it, gradually you have stopped all the activities that used to give you some sort of joy, that used to make you happy, and you are tilted more towards what he wants to do, not even thinking about the fact that what he wants you to do is not what you would want to do, because you do not enjoy those things. Mm. But you feel as if in order to be in his good books, in order to be the person that he wants, in order for you to be that person that he feels you are the right person for him, you must go to some of this wants of his. So these are all things that we have to think about.
Okay.
And you feel that you're the only one who can, he has a problem. This woman talked about the story you read. She talked about, oh, he having other women and she knowing about it and all of that. And you are there and thinking, oh, maybe I can do something to help this man. I can, you know, I'm the only one. I'm the only one who has got the key to the solution of the problem that he has. So these are all some of the things that I can talk about that are warning signals that women should begin to look out for and take seriously when they begin to feel one or more of this. Symptoms that I've spoken about.
Okay. All right. Sure. Thank you so much. Doc, you know, last week, just on the back of that, but you know, last week, when we were having the conversation, mm-hmm. as much as we were talking about abusive partners, you also, you know, picked on the fact that sometimes we ourselves have certain traits that kind of allow us to see things through, I would say, rose-tinted glasses. Yes. But, you know, so, I mean, we've discussed the other side, but if you can, just tell us, you know, some of the things that we have to start recognizing about ourselves which, you know, allow us to kind of continue to pick the same kind of, you know, maybe wrong partners or abusive partners, and then we can, you know, sort of marry the two and then move on from that.
Thanks, Nimwa. You see, I want to start off first by saying nobody would willingly go into a relationship with an abusive person. Okay, so they don't start out abusive. They're usually very, very caring, very loving. And we are looking for someone to care for us. Okay, but the key word here is control. They're using abuse because they want to control.
Okay.
So you're going in for love. They'll do everything to give you what you think you want. But their way of doing it is by controlling you. So you want love and they want control. So I'll give you what you want and then you'll be under my control. So if you're somebody who always wanted to be appreciated, let me put it that way. Many times we use the word validated, but you want to be appreciated. You come from a home where nobody really paid attention to you or much attention to you. Or you've been in a relationship that didn't end well. The guy maltreated you, disrespected you. Then you meet this very nice man. He's listening to you. In your story, you said she'd met somebody who would listen. Women, we want someone who will listen to us. You know, the fact that you're giving us the attention, the fact that you're listening, hanging on to every word we say. And trust me, these partners will hang on to every word you say. They are in tune with your feelings. You know, and that's why you end up sharing or oversharing, because they're there to do the oohs. My word, did this happen to you? And you're sucked in. So if you are somebody who doesn't have that much self-esteem, okay, you're weighing yourself or your worth using someone else's scales. Let me put it that way. And you find yourself short. You are going to see this person as your knight in shining armor. You're going to see this person as the only person who makes you feel good. So this is what we are bringing to the table. You see, we are bringing in low self-esteem, indecisiveness. Even when we're successful people, you know, there are very many successful women out there or men out there who don't even see how successful they are, you know, so they have what we call imposter syndrome. So I'm very cautious here, but I talked about some personalities and personality disorders, okay. One of those, two or three stand out for me. We have borderline personality disorder. Now, this disorder is one that is characterized by an extreme fear of rejection, of neglect, of abandonment. Okay, so every time they see that there's somebody is about to leave, they cling even more. Even if the person is slapping them, you know, they're still holding on to you. That's because this is what they brought to the table. We have dependent personality types, you know, who will also want someone to take care of them. So if you're that kind of person and you meet, again, with caution, I'll say someone with NPD traits, this narcissistic personality traits, and they are looking for someone to control, someone who will make them feel good, someone who would admire them. Remember we said the other day that they lack empathy, and this is for both men and women. So they are women narcissists. They lack empathy, real empathy, but they will show you some love, some affection. They will spend on you. And that's why you will feel that they care about you. Exactly. You know, they usually come with some story that touches or clutches at your heartstrings. That's why you also feel like you are their Messiah. So they come and they tell you, I struggle to make it in life. You know, maybe I have some money now, but I didn't get love when I was growing up and all that. And you did, you know. So when they hit you or when they're emotionally abusive, you say it's because they didn't have it.
Yeah.
So that's the you who doesn't want to feel abandoned or neglected. So you over care.
Compensate, yeah.
Exactly. Okay. You fill in that void. And so every time they hit you, you want to care so that they don't feel that loss, because it was the loss that caused them to hit you.
Yeah, yeah, I get that.
It's because they were feeling inadequate. Last week I mentioned that they'll come home and say, you know, they're frustrated with work and this and that. And then because you are mothering, you are nurturing, you are caring, you will absorb that and say it's not their fault. They didn't get their mother love. So I'm giving it to them. Mm. So after he's hit you, you go in and make him his favorite meal. You know, so see what we are bringing in?
Yeah.
And they are also making sure that we keep giving it.
Mm.
You know, and Deborah talked about some signs that we should be looking out for. And there are a few I want to mention. We use the word gaslighting a lot, but then what really is gaslighting? Gaslighting comes in many forms. So if you have a man who, in the middle of an argument, something he's done, something that should have been done, an omission or an act of omission or an act of commission, and you're trying to make him understand, then he goes, you know, don't worry about this. Let's talk about your birthday, you know. Okay, it's my birthday. So it's as if he's caring about you. No, he's distracting you.
Mm-hmm.
It's a warning sign. Or he's saying, that's not how it happened. So that you start to even doubt your own sanity.
Yeah.
Or whatever, you know, whatever you say. No. These are some of the things that we think, this is the way my man is or this is the way my woman is. You are looking at an abusive partner in the making.
Mm.
Because one day he's going to say to you, you know, you sound very crazy when you say things like that. Who wants to sound crazy? So the next time he hits you, I wanted to stop you from behaving crazy.
Yeah.
So now you imbibe that and you believe that, and that's why the abuse continues. So when we are going into a relationship, first, I think we should check what we are bringing to the table.
Mm.
Who are we? And why are we falling for this person? This I said of, to yeah. somebody this afternoon, when you get into a relationship, please let me see your partner. Because I know the kind of person I'm talking to, and I know the kind of person he's going to attract.
Mm.
And it's not going to bode well.
It's not
if it's a narcissist.
I want to say that we're not, like, you know, having this conversation to say that anybody who's being abused is doing something to deserve it.
Mm.
I think it's very important, if you're listening to us, that's not the takeaway.
No.
But the topic is, why do women stay in abusive relationships? And so if you are in an abusive relationship, at some point you're going to have to stop and ask yourself, why am I still here? Why am I still allowing myself to be treated this way? What is so broken in me that must heal for me to finally be able to say, I deserve better, I want better for myself, and I'll do better for myself? So that's really the objective of the conversation. So now that we've talked about all of these things, let me go back to my story, because the story ended with, in this case, what would you suggest? Because now this lady who has been injured, you know, several times, now has a side guy, you know, who she's finding comfort in. She's not sleeping with him, but, you know, she is having an emotional affair. And apparently, she's also financially responsible for the home, even though both of them are working. I think at this point, what I want to do before we discuss how to handle situations like this is to play a sound from last week's show, and where we had Mimi talk about the steps that she took to be able to leave her relationship. So, Kofi, if you could play the sound for us. This is just a recap of last week's segment on how she was able to leave the relationship.
Africans in general don't know, but most know, but they don't want to accept. Emotional abuse is worse than physical. It can kill you instantly. Physical, you just get the pain and then it's gone. Sometimes, if they don't kill you physically, emotional takes a lot of toll on you because it can transcend to your kids, how you bring them up, and all of that. Why women stay, I think one is religion. Religion is a big canker all over the world. It causes a lot of havoc. So first of all, people are brought up in a home where their mom stayed, their grandmother stayed forever. And so for them, it's a no-brainer. You have to stay. Once you leave, it's biblically wrong. And the problem with the religion is, for example, the Christian religion has a lot of denominations. And these denominations have different meanings of whatever the Bible says. When you go to a Catholic church, the same word is interpreted different from when you go to a Pentecostal church or a charismatic church or holiness type of church. And so they will say that divorce is not good because when you divorce, then you will not make it to the kingdom of God. Or divorce, when you divorce, some other doctrines say that when you divorce, then you can remarry. Because it's publicly wrong. Then another says you can. It's just a confusion. And so most women, when it comes to religion, they just want to be like their grandmom or their mom. If my mom didn't stay, I wouldn't be here and all of that. But this is what I say. When you say you are staying for your kids, it amuses me. How do you want to stay abused for the kid? You have to live for those kids to live. I don't understand that concept. If you don't live, if you are not alive, then your children are going to suffer. Yeah. So that concept of I'm staying because of my kids, where did people get that from? I can't fathom. Sometimes
when it comes to abuse.
Yeah, when it comes to abuse, like I'm staying because of the kids. How? You have to be mentally sound to bring up kids. So if you are not mentally sound and you're going through emotional stuff like depression, anxiety, panic attacks, and you're saying you're living, you're staying in the marriage because of your kids, you're rather worsening the situation. This is why we have a lot of kids on social media misbehaving. We have all these type of kids because their parents stayed abused. So they weren't mentally sound enough to bring up a child. So they brought up the child wrongly. That's why we have such kids roaming about. Because you decided to stay in your mind thinking that staying meant that you were staying for your kids. No. Leaving is for your kids and not staying. When you are being abused, whether physically or mentally, you have to leave because you have to be sound enough to bring up children to be productive in this world positively. So therefore, you have to be sound to bring up kids. And in African homes, mostly who brings up children?
The mothers.
Because they are always with us. The men are not always there. So you have to live so you can take care of the kids. Another reason is the fear of starting all over again. Most women are either not empowered or not empowered enough to take care of kids. So when I leave, how am I going to take care of these three kids, four kids? Even my salary cannot afford to pay two kids' school fees and three kids' school. So how am I going to, who is going? Because I have to stay because the man will support me and all of that. So that's one of the reasons. Because women are either not empowered or not empowered enough. So they will stay because of financial reasons. And also some women might be empowered, but they are so scared to start. You know, people are very scared to start all over again. So I'm going to move out of here. I need to find a place, start my life again. Which man is coming for me with these two kids and three kids? And no, so selfish. You're thinking about yourself and your emotional whatever you get from other men instead of thinking about your well-being that will help you take care of kids that you've brought into the world. That if you don't bring them up, you are going to cause maniac to the rest of the world later in future when you are gone. You will leave armed robbers and liars and whatever in the system whilst you are gone. You're not thinking about that. You're being selfish. You're thinking about how you are not going to get a man because you have three kids and all of that. So these are some of the reasons I have come to understand that it's making people stay in marriages instead of leave it.
Joy 99.7 FM.
So that was Mimi and her thoughts and of course her experience on why women don't leave the relationship. So what I want to do with the rest of the show is to actually talk about how to prepare to leave. So let me start with you, Deborah. You know, you've heard this lady's story, and I'm sure it must be quite a typical story of abuse, infidelity, you know, stuck at home, doesn't know what to do. So we, as much as we've talked about the warning signs, let's say we ignored the warning signs. We're in the relationship now. We're in the marriage now. This is what's happening. What do we do?
Okay. Thank you very much, Enimwa. So, first of all, one of the things that we tell the victims and survivors who come to us, the first and foremost thing is that woman is ready to leave, to actually pack her bags and says she's leaving. She goes through a lot of stages, so many emotional journeys, a lot of thoughts and all of that. So first and foremost, for the safety of the woman and the fact that she's not ready to leave at the moment, so she's taking the first step. And let me also say one thing, that before a woman even comes out to talk about it, she could have been in this for years, endured it for years, been, you know, sat in it for years before she would even come out and speak the first time. And when she comes to speak, it may not necessarily be because she wants to leave, but she just wants somebody to listen to her. So for us, one of the first things we would like to do with you is safety planning, because we all know that abuse could result in a lot of things, and one of them could be death, it could be injury, harm to the person. So we start you off on safety planning after going through all the counseling and everything, so that once you are not ready to leave, when you go back, you are protected. And we do safety planning with you, telling you, okay, when you are within that environment and you realize that the abuse is about to happen, especially if it is physical, do not run into the kitchen. It is not a place for you to go to, because out of anger, the person might pick up a knife, benkuta or something, and hit you with it, which could be very fatal for you. Even if it's happening in the hall, try to stay away from where the tables and chairs are, so that if you are kicked and you fall, you don't fall on any of those things to break any part of your body. One of the safety plans also that we will plan with a survivor is to try to get a pictorial view of how the home looks like. And so we ask you, if something happens that you need to leave immediately, where is the first route of exit for you? And that first route of exit, the planning would be, okay, so if you decide you want to leave, what are some of the essentials that you think you would need? And then the person will now outline, okay, maybe I'll need this, I'll need that. Okay, on your way exiting, can you start by putting things together? And you can put them somewhere that is not visible to your partner, but a place that as you are exiting or running or something, you can immediately grab those items and, you know, move out with. So we will do safety planning with you as you go back into the home. It's a psychological battle, and it has to do with all the things that the lady spoke about the last time, be it religion, family's acceptance of separation in the home because it has never been a part of that family, fear of the unknown, financial status, I'm working but I don't have enough, denial that it's even happening in the first place and it might end in where you think it is heading to, the love that you think you have for the person, children be a part of it, and then no place to go. So family is not accepting of it, friends will laugh at you, and so you don't have any place to go, so you feel you need to sit in it. So these are all the things. And so by the time a woman is ready to leave, she's been mentally worked on, and she's decided that she's had enough, and therefore she wants to, you know, exit that relationship. And so at the point of exiting, you would have planned how you are going to exit yourself and put certain things in place so that when you are exiting, you know where exactly you are going. Also, we try to let the women know the avenues for which they can seek help. So where shelters are located, unfortunately in Ghana, we don't have that much shelters. And currently, the one of the shelters that we normally would refer a lot of abused women to is the ACK Foundation shelter. The ACT Foundation is a sister NGO that also works on issues of violence against women and girls, and, you know, refer. So most times even getting a place that is safe enough for the woman to go to is a problem, but you give avenues, you know, point out the options. Okay, should anything happen, do you have a trusted friend? Do you have, you know, somebody that you can go to? It could be an uncle who will be welcoming of you and all of that. So we'll go through all that process with you, just so that when you are ready to leave, you can do all of that. And also for you to understand that, as you said from beginning, it is not your fault that you have been abused. There is no excuse in any way. So that is the starting point, because a woman feels that I played a role, there's something I did, there's something I didn't do well, that is why I am where I am. So it's to begin to psych the person to know that abuse in any form, shape, you know, anywhere is not your fault. It doesn't warrant you being abused, maybe because you spoke too much, you spoke too little, you did this or that. But nothing calls for a woman or, you know, a girl who is in a relationship to be abused. And so it's a process that the woman has to go through. In this, your story, that she now has a partner that, you know, listens to her. If you remember what Dr. May said, validation of, you know, your sense of your self-worth. So you have somebody who would laugh with you, listen to you, you know, give you that shoulder to cry on and all of that. Yes. So now she's found that option. But still then the man is still doing whatever he wants to do. He goes to the girlfriend, comes back maybe once a week, or, you know, decides to be gone. And the burden of the house is on her. Already you are shouldering the cost of running the home. So it shouldn't be any different for you when it's time to leave. But the thing is that a lot of women who go through abuse, unfortunately, a lot of them are not in the position to pick up their bags immediately and leave. They are not out today because when I leave, I am able to provide the basic things that I need, either for myself or for my children. And so would want to stay because of some of these things. In this lady's case, she's already catering for the home. But is that emotional process or psychological process that she needs to go through, which is still missing? And that is why she's still there. That is why she feels the other option of going about this is, you know, having somebody on the side who can listen to me, who can hear me out and all of that. And so that is what she's doing at the moment. But as we say, two wrongs don't make a right. And so it's not the best to have, but that is the way she has been able to, you know, live in that relationship, because it gives her a sense of comfort and a sense of self-worth. But what I'm trying to say with all of this is that in one way or the other, some people may leave, some people may still live in it. Some people will be midway, halfway in all of this, but it is not easy for any woman, whether she's found a side piece or not. It is never easy for any woman to say, today I am packing my bags and leaving.
Yeah,
people would even plan. They would, you know, put together all the resources and everything. But to take that step is another issue altogether. So it's a psychological process. It's not a cut. How do we say it? It's not a straightforward thing that you can say that, oh, at this point, when you get to this point, you can just leave, or at this point, it's different for everybody. There is a limit to which everybody can reach. Somebody's limit may be, oh, I work, I have this, I've rented a place already, I'm ready to leave. For another person, the person may be working, have all the money and everything, and would still be in it because of other circumstances and factors, and not necessarily financial, not necessarily because of the children, not religion or other things. And so for everyone, it's different. So it's very difficult to want to use one yardstick for everyone, but it begins with the first step of even coming out to talk about it in the first place and getting the right kind of help from a clinical psychologist or people who work within this field of, you know, violence against women, who have been trained to have the skills over the years to be able to respond to this kind of things, to you know, actually guide you and work on your self-worth, work on you psychologically to enable you to get to the point where you
come out of it. Right. Okay. Okay, thank you so much, Deborah. Very, very enlightening procedure of coming out. Doc, so, I mean, before you give us your take on preparing to come out of an abusive relationship, the fact that this situation, you know, the lady is seeing someone, and I think I've heard it quite a number of times. I think even last week we brought it up that a lot of women deal with abuse by having, you know, an emotional affair, so someone that they can, you know, lean on. Is that actually perpetuating the cycle? Because what kind of person are you looking for in an unhealed, you know, space?
So that's my worry. That's my concern, because I mentioned that these people you get involved with who turn out to be abusers were actually listeners, were people who were there for you because you might have had it rough at home. And so you got this person who will spend time with you, validating you. And I think last week, Mimi mentioned that she'd been in similar relationship, but she didn't know why she was attracted to the same kind of person.
Yeah.
This is the thing. If you constantly needing other people to validate you, you will find somebody else who will.
But it's a thin line between needing a friend, needing support, and then needing someone to validate you. So how do you know when, you know, a friendship or a relationship is just being supportive?
Mm-hmm.
Or if you're actually now feeding, you know, off of that.
Yes.
Into the troubles that you have with yourself that you should be working on.
Yes.
Because we all need friends.
That's the thing. So with the personality disorders I was talking about, there is this tendency to read more into a relationship than there really is.
Okay.
If you take the borderline personality disorder, for instance, you make friends with this person at work, right? You like this girl, you like this guy. You're talking about your issues and they seem to be listening. Now, they might just want you as a friend. But then the tendency again is to read more. So now the fact that the person paid attention to you means that they do like you. And before you know it, you're falling for them. Right? So it does happen. This is a caution. So when I get couples like that, I'm also looking out for these things. Does this woman have the tendency to read more into relationships than there really is? You know what I mean? Because maybe that's not it. Okay? And then because they also, most of them have this tendency again to cling. So when you want to pull away, it's something else, and then they start to hold on to you either by going through your phone and stuff like that. So that can be very problematic. But then Deborah actually hit the nail on the head when she said, talk about it. For me, it's break the silence. Even if you're not ready to leave. Now, we won't advocate that people just walk out of their marriages. No. You know, and I do know that some religions allow for separation, you know, while you sort yourself out or while you get some help. And even these days, I have people who are referred for some counseling by divorce lawyers.
Okay.
So that at least go and find out who you are, so you don't make that same mistake again. But the thing is, break the silence. Talk to somebody. Don't talk to one person about what's going on. You know what I mean? If you've been physically abused, don't try and make excuses for the injuries you have, which a lot of women do to protect their husbands who might be high profile people. And if your family are not listening, talk. You will find that even though we tend to gossip, you know, we're more interested in somebody's downfall than what's building them up. Talk about it to your girlfriends, a few of them, so that when something happens, it won't be a surprise. Because if I recall what happened to the Nigerian musician, you know, we were all on her back. Why didn't she leave? Why didn't she leave? She told this person. No. If you make noise about it, not going on air and talking about it, of course, but then knowing who to talk to. Talk to your parents, you know, are not, maybe, you know, old school and they don't want you washing your dirty linen in public. Okay, talk to a schoolmate. Talk to a lawyer. Talk, even if you don't have the money, talk to somebody, your neighbor. You share things with your neighbor. When your neighbor asks you, what happened here? You have been hit. You know that the next time it would be worse.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about it. If let me, if I can speak tree, which is really bad. You know what I mean? That has gone out.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you say it's your fault or it was your fault, it's gone out.
Mm.
That Kofi di adie bi bo, it's wrong for Kofi to hit you. So there's nothing wrong with your neighbor knowing it. Because if anything happens and she sees another bruise, she's going to say, you know what, Akosia, leave. So if you don't even have what it takes to move out because you're being physically abused, the emotional abuse is different because we can't see it. You know what I mean? So then you can go to maybe a therapist, a counselor. And these days we have psychologists in all the regional hospitals, all the big hospitals. You find somebody, go and talk to them. It will be documented.
Yeah.
And it will be confidential.
Mm.
You get it. So if you're afraid of it going out and messing your marriage or your partner's
reputation,
at least somebody knows about this.
Yeah.
Yes. And that person will defend you when push comes to shove.
Right.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Thank you,
Doc, for joining us. And all the best next week.
Thank you.
With everything that will be happening.
Thank you.
And Deborah, thank you as well for joining us. It's almost 8 o'clock, so we have to hand over to the news team for the news. The show went by really fast. If you missed any portions of it, it's on